Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll read together verses 1 through 15. This is God's holy word. Please give it your full attention. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded to me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son, and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care, lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. Thus far the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. This Lord's Day, this first day of the week where we set it aside to worship you together as one body, brothers and sisters of one another, to be fed by your word, to sing your praises, and to enjoy the sweet fellowship of the saints. We thank you for blessing us with your word. We pray that you be with us this morning in power, especially the power of your Holy Spirit, who wrote this word, who inspired chosen men through whom to write his holy word. We pray that you be with us this morning to make sure that it is preached as you have promised it would be in boldness. But not only that, that you would give understanding, that you would open the eyes of all who are here to understand the deep things of your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. This morning, I want to begin by talking a little bit about baptism. Kids, how many of you remember your baptism? There's a few of you. Good. Most of you were little babies when you were baptized, like I was. Just a little tyke. I don't remember it. People remember it for me because I made a real fuss when it happened. Pastor Peterson is fond of telling the story and saying that some are brought into the kingdom kicking and screaming. But for those of you who don't remember, you've seen other baptisms. You're brought up front with the pastor, the elders, your parents. Your parents in the congregation make vows. Water is sprinkled on your head. And the pastor says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At that point, you were set apart as God's child, as a member of His church. It is a wonderful and a beautiful thing to see the sign and the seal of God's covenant of grace placed upon our children. The children of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, recognizing that God has chosen for these lambs to be born into His flock. Baptism, along with the Lord's Supper, are the two sacraments given to you by Christ as signs and seals of the covenant of grace. And along with the Word and prayer, sacraments are the means by which God has chosen for you to grow and mature in grace by His Spirit. They're called the means of grace. Baptism is a beautiful and wonderful thing, far different in substance than the baby dedications that are performed in many churches today who do not share our biblical conviction that the children of believers are holy. They are set apart as members of Christ's body, the church. Although the debate between Presbyterian and Reformed believers and our Baptist brothers and sisters often focuses on the issue of infant baptism, our view of covenant children is far more rich and expansive than this one issue. Yes, it includes infant baptism, but it includes so much more. When a child is baptized, vows are made. Please pay careful attention as I read these vows. Do you promise to instruct your child in the principles of our holy Christian faith as revealed in the Scriptures and as summarized in the Confession of Faith and Catechisms of this church? And do you promise to pray with and for your child, to set an example of piety and godliness before him, and to endeavor by all the means of God's appointment to bring him up in the nurture and instruction of the Lord? Many of you have made these vows when your children were baptized. Do you remember it? For some of you, it was a long time ago. But these are not just some nice words to say on a nice occasion. These are vows. These are promises. These are oaths made before God and witnesses, His church. And these promises are to be taken seriously and are not to be forgotten. The scripture passage this morning in Deuteronomy 6 sets forth a great summary of the duties of a Christian parent. Not an exhaustive concordance, but a helpful summary. Begins in verses 4 through 5, referred to by the Jews as the Shema, because it begins by saying, "Hear, listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Jesus in Matthew 22 summarizes the law in two great commandments. Basically, to love God and to love your neighbor. Love, and love for God especially, is the key to the law. The author continues in verse 6. "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart." God's covenant is for His people. His abiding moral law fulfilled in Christ, the gospel of salvation by grace, the promises, the blessings, all of it is for you who are God's people. God's covenant, although real and tangible, is not merely external. Not something just done on the outside. He says, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart." God is concerned with your heart. Yes, He's concerned with your behavior, your actions, what you say and what you do. But fundamentally, all that you do flows out of your heart. So that everything you do should come from a heart that is in submission to God's will as you seek to honor and glorify Him in all that you do. However, this is not just about you as an individual. To borrow from a popular advertising campaign, a Christian soldier is not an army of one. Your covenant relationship with God is not lived out in isolation, all by yourself. It reaches out and it touches everything in your life. It affects your marriage. It affects your family, your relationships at work, how you live together in the Church of Jesus Christ. You are all members of one body, Paul says, united together as brothers and sisters in one family. Particularly this morning, we will look at how your covenant relationship with God affects how you raise your children. Continue in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. He says you shall teach. And he's not just talking here about passing on information. Just some things to memorize, some head knowledge. It is a molding, an impressing, a shaping, and a sharpening of your child that is in view. And this is something that isn't done overnight. It is something that has to be done faithfully over a long period of time throughout their childhood as they grow up into adulthood. Impressing upon your children the things of God. His covenant, His law, His gift of salvation in the death of His Son, His enduring faithfulness, His blessings, His curses, His holiness, His wrath, His power, His tender mercy. He says to teach them diligently. Diligently meaning a steady perseverance with attention to detail. Diligently. Take care as you go about teaching and training your children in the ways of the Lord. However, a command to teach diligently without anything else can be more frustrating than helpful. Those of you who are teachers might recognize the obvious questions that pop up right away, such as, who are my students? Where is my classroom? What time should instruction occur? What are my periods? What is my curriculum? What am I supposed to teach? Who is my union representative? Do I get summers off? God has provided the answers to some of these questions for you. Your students are God's covenant children. Where are you to carry out this instruction? Well, he says, when you're at home and when you're at a home. When you're at home, or when you're walking by the way, or when you're traveling, going to and fro. Maybe a good correlation would be when you're driving around in the car, when you're running errands. In the home and out of the home, those are your classrooms. Now when? In the evening at bedtime. When you lie down and when you rise in the morning. So basically, from sunrise to sunset. So everywhere, all the time. Not just from time to time, but something to be done all the time. Something that's to be done naturally. A regular part of your daily routine. Part of your family life. I want to pause here for a moment and talk a minute about worship. What is worship? Is it something done 1 hour, or maybe 2 hours this morning, 1 hour a week on Sunday at a church building? Is that all that worship is? No. We are worshiping now together as one body, which is a vital part of being a Christian. Don't mistake what I'm saying. Worshiping together with your brothers and sisters every Lord's Day is vital and extremely important. Should not be neglected. It should not be skipped. Don't deprive yourselves of the primary means God gives you, His grace. However, corporate worship, this time together, this 1 hour, 1.5 hours a week, in itself is not sufficient. 1 hour a week out of 168 total hours won't cut it. Your entire life as a child of God is to be one big act of worship. In all that you do, you are to be seeking God's honor and His glory. At your job, in your home, when you're playing with your friends, everything is to be honoring God and to be an act of worship. Reflect for a moment on how much time you have spent in your home studying God's Word as a family this past week. You are to worship God in your homes as a family. This is different than our corporate worship services, but it is worship. Do it regularly. Do it every day. Read God's Word together. Talk about it. Discuss it. Sing some hymns. Learn some new songs. And pray together. You remember one of the vows, to pray with and for your child. To be praying together as a family. You could recite a catechism, question and answer together. Exposure to God's Word one day a week for 1 hour is not enough. If that is all you are being fed, then you are spiritually unhealthy. If that is all your children are fed, they also are spiritually unhealthy. So I encourage you to read the Word in your homes with your children. Teach them diligently, the Word says. Review with them what they've learned in Sunday school. Take an active role and a focused interest in your child's spiritual education. I want to underscore one thing briefly, that this is your responsibility. No one is going to do it for you. When you're at work, if you don't do your job, is anyone going to do it for you? If you're in the home and you decide, I'm just going to stop cleaning the house, is anyone going to do it for you? Paul says in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. The first part there, you'll recognize from the last couple of Sundays that Pastor Brack has been preaching through the fifth commandment. The commandment with a promise. A wonderful promise held out that when that relationship is lived out, parent and child, with God's glory in mind, that there is blessing there. There is great blessing there. But Paul continues with a special word to fathers. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, the command is explicitly given to you to bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Or, as some are used to memorizing it, the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I know that you are all busy people. It's a busy world out there. Managing your lives often has more to do with what you cut out than what you add in. God says, make time for this. This is a priority. If you are too busy to do this, then cut something out. This time of family study, instruction, and worship takes priority over most other things in your life. He continues in verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Bind them as a sign on your hand. A sign is something that points to something else. Without the other thing it points to, it's worthless. If you have a stop sign or a stoplight and no intersection, does that make any sense? The sign is there to point to a reality, something very real. And that's its whole point. Sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are signs and seals of the covenant of grace They are signs and that they point to it. Sign is nothing apart from the thing it points to. Some people tie a string on their finger to remind them of something important that they don't want to forget. Some people write themselves little sticky notes and put them all over the place. But some people tie a string to their finger to remind them, what's that string doing there? Why do I have a string tied to my finger? Oh, that's right. I got to walk the dog. God says, bind my law as a sign on your hand. Have it ever before you so that you do not forget. Don't forget me. Don't forget my faithfulness to you. I am your God. You are my precious child. Don't forget who you are. You are my child living in my world. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Kids, who knows what a frontlet is? It's a phylactery. That makes it all clear, right? So what's a phylactery, you ask? It's an adornment for the forehead. It's something worn on the forehead. It's kind of hard to forget about something that's stuck to your forehead, isn't it? Every time you look in the mirror, there it is. Right there. The Jews around the time of the return from the exile began to take this verse very literally. They wrote down four scripture passages on pieces of parchment, including this one. And they folded them into a little box. And with a leather strap, they tied it to their forehead. They also tied one to their arm. And they would do this during their morning prayers. And so these frontlets were called tefillin, which is the Hebrew word for prayer. However, it became to them a sign of personal holiness, that they were somehow living out this verse better than other people. By the New Testament times, the Pharisees would make their prayer boxes extra large. Big old box. Everyone could see it. A big old phylactery on there. Big old frontlet. They would make them extra large and they would wear them all the time. Not just during their prayer time, but all the time to show how much holier they were than everyone else. So Jesus rebuked them in Matthew 23 verse 5 saying, they do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They misunderstood the point of Deuteronomy 6, 8, which is to have God's law always before you as a reminder that you don't forget about who God is, His covenant, what He has done for you, and how you are to live as His child. Instead, they did what Christians still do today. They turned the truths of God's Word into little trinkets. The Christian bookstores missed out on the opportunity to sell WWJD phylacteries. They would have sold well. This little box right there. You could put your life verse in it. Verse 9. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Recall the sign the Israelites placed on their doorposts their last night in Egypt, when the angel of death came to claim the firstborn males of the Egyptian households. Do you remember what that was? It was the blood of the sacrificial lamb that they put on their doorposts as a sign. As they continued to celebrate the Passover feast to commemorate how the Lord had delivered them, that was a sign for them that they would not forget God's salvation. Why do we not still celebrate the Passover Supper? Why don't we do that? Because the true Passover Lamb has come. Jesus Christ has offered Himself up as the perfect sacrifice for your sin and has redeemed you from the bondage of sin and death. Just as the Israelites had the sign of blood on their doorposts to remind them of the Lord's salvation, so you also are to have around you reminders of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and primarily His Word. There are fantastic resources available for you and your family. Don't make it a habit to recommend things for purchase from the pulpit, but I will today. The first thing being this. The Bible. If your kids are old enough to read, let them read God's Word. And just a little tip, if they're little kids, get a Bible with large print. Know what they're reading. Discuss it with them. Help them to understand what's going on. Help them to get the big picture. And the second thing is something that was included in those vows. The confession of faith and the catechisms. And these are available free out there somewhere. There's a stack of them. The confessions of faith. Many of you have been memorizing it as Pastor Brack has been preaching through the shorter catechism these past years. And that's a fantastic thing to do. And I encourage you to keep it up, to do it diligently. And I encourage parents also to memorize it because it is extremely helpful. When seminarians are getting ready for their presbytery exams, that's the first thing they're told to do, to memorize the catechism, because it really is a summary of the doctrine taught in Holy Scripture. It's an invaluable tool. So do it. Memorize it. Even our denominational magazine, The New Horizons, has a special box every month to honor people who have memorized the whole shorter catechism. So that's a goal for you. It'd be great to see some of your names printed in there in the coming years. These are the most valuable tools available to you to better understand Scripture. I encourage you to avail yourselves of them, and you neglect them to your own detriment. So in conclusion, what do you want for your children? That's something I think that every parent needs to ask themselves. What do I want for my child? What are my hopes for them? What are my goals for them as I go about bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, the teaching them right from wrong, how to love God, how to obey Him? Do I want them to be successful? To make lots of money? Do I want them just to be happy? What you should want more than anything is for them to love the Lord. No matter what they do, this is the most important thing. And they must see that you love the Lord. You must teach them by regular instruction and by example to love and obey Him. Examine yourselves to see if you are setting a good example for your children. Because, as most of you know, children are learning all the time, whether you think you're teaching them or not. They're learning, they're picking it up, they're soaking it up like sponges. Catechize them, worship with them, model Christ-likeness for them, model Christian love and humility for them. Covenant children have the right and the privilege of coming to know Christ. Don't misunderstand me. They are not guaranteed salvation, but they do have the right and the privilege of coming to know Christ. As Pastor Brack read earlier in the service from Mark 10, they were bringing children to Him that He might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant. And He said to them, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And He took them into His arms, and He blessed them, laying His hands on them. Jesus says, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God." If you neglect to teach your children diligently of their covenant Lord as He has revealed Himself in His Word, then you are hindering them. You are depriving them of what is rightfully theirs as a member of Christ's church. Remember what a blessing, what a privilege it is to raise covenant children. Parents, raising your children to know and love the Lord is the most important thing that you can do. It is more important than fame, than fortune, than success in this world. If you make millions of dollars and are hugely successful in this world, but neglect your duties to your children in order to do so, then you are a failure. They and their children and their children's children are the church here when you are dead. God is using you to mold and shape His church, to teach His covenant children about His Son who died for their sin. It's not easy. It's not easy to raise children in a Christian home in this society, in almost any society. However, it is worth every minute of it. And I encourage you to hang in there and to keep it up. Teach them diligently for God's glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You have done for us. That You are the perfect Father. The one who always knows what is best for us and always does what is best for us. Father, we confess that we are not perfect. That we, as Your people, still struggle with sin. And we thank You for giving us passages like Deuteronomy 6 that encourage us as families, that give us a guide how we are to raise Your covenant children, the lambs that You have chosen to be born into Your church. We pray that You give all the families here Your strength and wisdom and power and Your grace. We know that times get difficult, that there is strife in the home, that there is dissent, that there is fighting. This happens in all of our homes, Lord. But we pray that You would give us patience, that You would give us endurance, that You would help us to not look to our own abilities, but to look to the grace You've given us in Jesus Christ. That in Him You have given us all things. Lord, we pray for the children of this church, these precious children whom we love. Help us, not only as individual parents, individual families, but as a community, as one body. Give us wisdom how to bring these children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that they would grow up knowing You as their Heavenly Father, bringing all of their burdens to You in prayer, singing Your praise with the hymns of the faith, memorizing the catechisms, memorizing Scripture in their Sunday school classes and at home. Lord, we pray that You help us to order our priorities rightly. There are so many things competing for our time these days. We spend all hours of the day at work and oftentimes all hours of the night as well. Give us strength to carve out that time regularly to spend as families, worshiping You together and growing in Your grace, availing ourselves of these tools You have given us. Lord, we know that on our own we are not sufficient for these things, but that You, by the grace of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, are renewing us after the image of our Creator. Strengthen us to do the task which You have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please turn now to hymn number 720. It's our hymn of response, a hymn that we sing fairly often based on